What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Gimmick Minute Wrestling Podcast. My name is Jason, joined with Kevin and Riley. Thank you for joining us for this episode. Hopefully you enjoy it. We are going to talk about some things going on in the world of professional wrestling. And if you want to join in on the conversation, you can do so by finding us on X at Live Your Gimmick. That is the at symbol followed by LiveYourGimmick. In addition to that, you can find us on your favorite podcast app of choice. You can leave us a message on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, you know, all the different podcast apps. So just find us out there. Every now and again, I'll even post an episode on YouTube or put a clip on TikTok when I have some time to do it. But, you know, sometimes I don't have time because, you know, I have a life outside of this podcast. I wish I didn't, but fortunately I make money, right? So anyway, Riley and Kevin, welcome to the show. How are you guys doing today? I know Kevin already kind of talked about how he's doing. Riley, how you doing?
I'm here.
You're here. I'm ready. All right.
I watched some wrestling and I've got good stuff.
All right.
And I got a dog.
And you got a dog. Sister Abigail making an appearance on the podcast, going crazy.
All right, Riley. All right. You carry the show tonight.
I do every night.
All right. So, first thing off of the bat I wanted to talk about was the fact that somebody needs to take Twitter away from Tony Khan. Not only should he not be doing post-fight press conferences, but he probably should not be tweeting either. Maybe I missed something because he tweeted the other day a double standard. And he tagged Hook on it, 28-1 career record on a winning streak, calls out the champ. A logical challenge sparks online outrage. Jinder has literally lost every single match he's in for the past year. Immediately gets a title shot. Where is the rage? Hashtag AEW Dynamite tomorrow on TBS. So until he mentioned that, I had no idea that Hook challenged Samoa Joe for the world championship.
Well, that was last night. All these tweets came out Tuesday.
Yeah. So, but apparently Hook had made that challenge before that though, because they talked about it on the commentary on Dynamite too. So I never saw where Hook, maybe it was on Collision last week. I never saw where Hook made that. And I never saw any online outrage.
Last night was the first I saw it.
Until he said that tweet.
The outrage I thought was like Tuesday or something like that.
Yeah, well, it came after Monday because Jinder had that spot with Seth and made that challenge. Mm-hmm. I think Tuesday morning is when he, or no, I think Wednesday is when he said, or, yeah, Tuesday is when he said all that. So I don't know where all that came from.
Yeah, I don't know why he started going off about it. Like, what does it matter? Why does that bother you so much? It's not like it's him being too much of a fan and not worrying about like his shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like it's you know, WWE's fault that Hook doesn't get a title shot or something. Is that? I mean, that's the way I'm taking it. It's like, what is?
Yeah,
it's your company. Then give Hook a title shot. Like, Jesus. It's pretty bad.
It doesn't make any sense that Hook is getting a title shot.
Yeah, and
it makes zero sense.
Right, and
but Jinder Mahal is a former champion. You know, it makes sense that he comes back and gets one. At least in my eyes, but Hook, what has he done? Like, there's so many other guys that could get a title shot over Hook. That he's got to defend it now, and that's what he's doing.
I mean, it's cool if Hook is one of those like surprise type people that like win something to get a title shot. You know what I mean? Like something that's been done in the past where like they've had this, you know, when Booker T got the world title shot at WrestleMania 19 for Triple H, like a lot of people didn't see him winning that. He won a battle royal, beat the last person he beat was The Rock. And you know what I mean? Like, it was kind of one of those things like, oh, okay, cool. Booker T's going to get a world title shot. He hasn't really been in the world title picture. So, you know what I mean? Like, if it was something like that, like, oh my God, like Hook won. Hook's going to get a world title shot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when Jeff Hardy got the ladder match, you know, the title shots against Undertaker, had those matches. Like, did he deserve world title shots? Probably not, compared to who. But if they would have done it that way, hey, but, oh my God, kidding me? Like, that'd be awesome. But the fact that he had to go on and start all this shit, and then just seemingly he's giving Hook a title shot just to throw it back, the fact that Jinder Mahal's getting the title shot, is the way I'm taking it. So it's just weird. It's just weird, man. Like,
it really is.
Like, you have so many other things that you, like, should be focusing on, that you have potentials with great storylines, that to start this, like, I don't get it.
And then he battled against USA Network's Twitter account, which hilariously, like, went after Tony Khan. And I don't know what the tweet before that was, but he was replying to somebody else and said, what was the cage match rating? And then Tony Khan then was like, a moral victory for USA is one win more than the world title challenger Jinder Mahal has had in the past 364 days, because it's literally been a full year since he won a match. You really put AEW in a place getting Jinder Mahal in a big match on your TV show. Do it more often. But that's like, they're not, has nothing to do with AEW. Like, why is he making it about AEW? Why is he spending so much time investing in what's going on in WWE TV? Like, that's what I question. Like, why?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's so many more things that, like, you know, that could be focused on. Like, the whole, start of the Samoa Joe title reign. You know what I mean? Everything with Adam Cole and all this stuff. Like, you know, we're, like, 2 months away from, or whatever, like, Sting's retirement. Like, I understand they started the seeds of that, but, like, there could be so much more focused on that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just really weird. And then Eric Bischoff got involved, and then he started going off on Eric Bischoff.
Eric Bischoff, he called him in his place quite a bit, so.
Yes. I think my favorite one was when he called him, like, a washed-up has-been or something like that, and then Eric replied back with a picture of when he was on AEW, and they called him a groundbreaking wrestling promoter, and he said, a groundbreaking washed-up has-been. Good job, Eric. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just it was just a really weird thing. And that's the other thing, too, is, like, you know, you're burying Jinder at the same time. Like, why are you, you know, you're attacking a wrestler. You're attacking one of the boys. Like, I can imagine that the guys in his locker room that are friends with Jinder may not really appreciate him doing that either. Yeah, it's just weird. Really weird. So, yeah. I mean, did you watch Collision last week, Riley, by chance?
No.
No? Okay. I didn't see it either, so I don't know if there was something.
I don't think so, because...
On there.
Yes, it was the first time Samoa Joe's been on since he won the title.
Yeah, but there's still been a week of TV.
I mean,
since he won it, where he was off. Because that's why... Whenever the world champion wins the title, he apparently gets that next week off.
I don't know.
Like, that must be a thing that they did debut.
Well, I guess refreshed world title last night. I don't know if you guys saw it. So back to the black strap, but, like, so the rumors were that the main, okay, so they obviously changed the one side plate to where, remember, Jason, we were talking about when they gave the belt to Clemson, how it's got custom side plates. So the title now has custom side plates, which is smart for marketing, because you can sell those, you know what I mean? But now, like, people, everybody that's bought the original replica has to buy a new, replica, basically. The rumor was that they were going to change the, because I like how the logo is in the middle of the plate now. They were going to change it to, like, kind of like how your shirt is, but, like, the black square or whatever. And it didn't, like, somebody had, like, a prototype of it, and it did not, like, it looked, like, real cheesy. So I'm glad they didn't do that. But, like, if you count, there are 7 AEW logos on the title. There's one on the main plate, and then 2 on the first of each side plate, and then the the next set of side plates is another logo. So there's, yeah, there's like seven logos or something. So plus Samoa, plus two side custom side plates and a nameplate. So you know Samoa Joe's the champion. And it's the AEW title. So
yeah. Well, they have so many titles in AEW, God. You got to distinguish as much as
you
can.
I mean, one person has three titles.
Did you see Moxley's press conference after the New Japan Wrestle Kingdom when he goes, yeah, I mean, you know, I was trying to win
global.
He couldn't name the belt, like the global championship or interglobal. I don't know. They have 32 fucking belts.
I think Tony Khan tries to like emulate and get from, because New Japan has so many championships. So they've had so many championships. So I'll never get a company that has a world heavyweight title and a global title. Like, isn't it the same thing?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it really does not make sense, but yeah. Another thing that that people kind of took a little umbrage over was the finish of SmackDown. For those that might not have saw it, there's a triple threat match between AJ, Randy Orton, and LA Knight that ended in a bloodline beatdown, which then caused Nick Aldis to kind of whisper in Paul Heyman's ear that Roman just kind of found himself in a fatal four-way match. And a lot of people had a problem with that. Like, I saw some people online say, like, this is lazy booking by Triple H. First of all, the three of us, I think we can all say, we've never had experience in booking a wrestling show, especially for, you know, a multi-billion dollar entertainment. I mean,
we've done it on here, and right? they've stolen our ideas.
I don't really feel...
whatever.
Yes, that's true. Yes. AEW more than WWE, yeah. But still. But at the same time, though, we're more like fantasy, like just say it, like spitballing. We're not criticizing necessarily or telling or saying like, oh, that's lazy booking. Like, I don't know. To me, I just feel like we're not qualified enough to say that. but I don't know. What'd you guys think of how that finished?
I mean,
and
me
the fact
first,
that it's going to be a
yeah.
Four-way
I did
match.
Too. Go ahead, Riley.
I liked it. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking watching the match. Man, that match's pretty good. I'd actually like to see a fatal four-way for the title, and then it happened. So
yeah,
I was thrilled.
Yeah, I think the way I think of it is that
upset one bit.
You've had these guys so heavily involved with each other lately with everything. That, like, kind of my mind, like, I was leaning, like, well, if, okay, let's say Orton wins and the other two are in the Rumble. I don't really see AJ or LA Knight winning the Rumble. So, like, why not, like, showcase them in a different way? And plus, you got, like, you know, I mean, again, it only makes Roman look stronger once he beats these guys. So.
Yeah, and I think it's smart, too, because it keeps LA Knight out of the Rumble, because if he's not going to win the Rumble, probably shouldn't be in it, right? Because because of his popularity. So I'll give him credit on that, because look at the past. Like, Roman suffered from this. Like, that one time that Bryan Danielson came back from injury, was in the Rumble, got eliminated, the place booed the hell out of it. Then when Roman won, even with The Rock coming out and endorsing him,
yeah, that was the year after
the crowd completely turned
the
on
Yes
it.
Movement or YesLemania. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Brian had been out for so long. Because
that was that
was
the year Seth Rollins cashed in. Yep,
it was in it. Yeah. And Roman was out too for a period of time. I forget what his injury was, but he was out for like a good like 4 or 5 months and came back, because I remember. He came, because I was actually at, it was a TLC pay-per-view in Cleveland, and he came back like right for like either during that pay-per-view or came back to have
wasn't that the year you and I went to
Rumble a couple
months
later.
Okay, that was you and I remember you and I went to a Raw in Cleveland, but it was before their not that match. It was before their Universal title match. Okay. That was remember the one where he busted him open and
yeah.
Okay.
Right. So yeah, it just kind of worked out a little bit differently. But to your point, Kevin, yeah, Roman ends up coming out clean. At the same time, it puts the championship in a little bit more peril because I don't think any of these four guys have a good enough, or any of these three guys, I should say, have a good enough story built up to like believably think, oh, this guy's going to beat Roman, right? Because you got Randy coming back from injury. He's only had a few matches. You got AJ coming back from injury. He's only had a few matches. They all have a beef with Roman. And then you have LA Knight, who's already failed to, you know, even though it was, you know, even though he didn't win clean, he still failed to capture the championship. So having it be a four-way really kind of puts more peril on the championship. Like, okay, there is a believable way that they could take the title off of Roman without him being pinned. Like LA Knight could become champion without even pinning Roman Reigns or something like that. So it definitely opens up some doors and some possibilities. I don't think that's going to happen.
And I don't think it's going to be, like you said, to that effect, like there's having the extra couple guys, like they to me, they always seem like do four-way matches pretty well, you know? So, especially being a fatal four-way, you know what I mean? Like, so it's just that one extra person that he could lose a title at any time. I think Roman he does.
Stacks all three of them on top of each other.
Because there was a tweet the other day. Yeah. No, there was. I think he or Paul Heyman shared a tweet the other day of him, like after this match happened, and it was either that shirt. I think it was that shirt, and then the picture of him pinning both Bryan and Edge at the same time.
Okay. So, and then I started to think too, because I know we talked a little bit last week about the possibility of when the match between Roman and Rock happens, and you know we all kind of thought maybe it would happen at Elimination Chamber. You know, time will tell. Like I have a feeling after that Fatal Four Way match, The Rock comes out and confronts him, or maybe The Rock ends up being in the Rumble as a surprise. We don't really know at this point, but. Here's the scenario I thought about because it was a little bit of Cody. Cody's not going to finish his story. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, like we said before, Cody does not have a timeline on finishing his story. What if there's a scenario where Rock ends up facing Roman at WrestleMania? I don't know what Cody's going to do at WrestleMania. That kind of puts him in peril, but then everybody's, you know, Cody's going to be kind of down, like, oh, I have to overcome another obstacle. Let's say then Cody wins Money in the Bank. Cody, with that Money in the Bank briefcase, says, okay, I am facing Roman at SummerSlam. He calls a shot. He says when he's going to cash it in. I have the match. It's going to be at SummerSlam. And then you have that Cody cashing in to finish the story versus Roman trying to go for Hogan's record. Because if Roman gets through SummerSlam, he breaks Hogan's streak, right? But if Cody finishes his story, he doesn't. So what about that story for SummerSlam as opposed, like, I know it's not winning it at WrestleMania. And I know, you know, typically when there's a, you know, you think about, but if Roman beats Rock at WrestleMania, that's like a passing of the torch, right? Not necessarily a championship, but that's a passing of the torch. Whereas with Cody facing him at SummerSlam, It doesn't have to be a passing of the torch.
So let's go. Let's, you know, do an off the wall, that, like we're that, 10 years old, title. Like fantasy thing that would be awesome to happen. If that was to happen, okay. Let's say Cody is facing him at SummerSlam, right? And you know, in January here, we're celebrating 40 years of Hulkamania, right? So take it to SummerSlam. Hogan says he's going to be in Cody's corner, you know, to be there. To watch him beat Roman so he doesn't beat his record, right? And then Hogan turns on Cody, helps Roman win. Hollywood Hogan. I mean, come on. How awesome that would be.
I mean, that would be cool. I mean, what do you think of that scenario, Riley? Is not necessarily the one Kevin laid out, but the.
I like Kevin.
I was trying to think like of something kind of like astronomical, like Hogan lie as
but,
well.
I, but But is that an acceptable, you know, with in the eyes of fans, do you think that would be an acceptable trade-off? Okay.
No.
Yeah, he doesn't get the moment at WrestleMania. You don't think it'd be an acceptable trade-off? Why not?
I don't think fans would like it. I think they want him to win it at Mania.
You know what?
I don't understand why.
Yeah, I used to always think that too. I'm just saying, I don't know why. Like, I think he winning at any time would be a big moment. I understand WrestleMania, but I don't know. Like, it's a matter of I don't know. As far as what's going to, you know, WrestleMania is their biggest moneymaker. So will Roman and Cody 2 make more money, or will Roman and The Rock make more money? I'm talking about, like, just, well, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, like, maybe more merchandise.
WrestleMania's already sold out.
I don't know. You know, I'm trying to think of other parallels, I guess, or whatever, but.
Yeah,
You know, more people signing up for Peacock so they can see it, or, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I get you. I just, you know, but at the same time, though, having Cody win on such a big scale like that would also be good for him and his brand, like, you know, especially if he's the guy that they're basically putting the company on his shoulders.
Now
like he's taking the ball and running with it.
Now, if Cody was booking it, I'm telling you what he would do.
I get why
he would book himself
to
win, but then
he
would have Damian Priest cash in and beat him the same night. Yeah. I mean, because that's Cody.
Oh, yeah,
because
it's better when the babyface chases.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, actually, Priest cashing in on Punk would be, that'd be nuclear. And honestly, I think Punk would book
it
that
would
as well.
Yes,
too.
Yes, it would be. Definitely would
so,
be.
So, I don't know. It's good. It's good to have unpredictability.
So,
just because, you know, the last few years we've had so much unpredictability, whereas maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago, you know what I mean? It was. It was so predictable. So it's a good problem to have.
Yeah. It really is. And it's as much as everybody overreacts to the fantasy booking or to the rumors or to, like, oh, I think this should happen. I think this should happen. When everything plays out, I feel like the fans are very receptive of how it plays out. So it's like everybody freaks out about it, but then at the end of the day, after it happens, like, oh yeah, that was actually really cool. I mean, there's going to be a small segment of the audience that's not going to be happy no matter what, because they're just miserable human beings that don't want to have any joy in life. But I mean, I think for the most part, like, I have not been disappointed by really anything that they've done over the last year and a half. Like, I cannot think of a single thing, you know, like, yeah, it's disappointing when Sammy didn't win the title, but at the same time, there was a bigger plan down the road, and it still put Sammy in a bigger spot. Same thing with Drew. Like, look at
what
Drew's
doing right
now. That's
the thing. That's to me, though, like, I think Sammy and KO winning was just as big, if not bigger.
And
you know what I mean? Like, so I'm fine with Sammy not winning. Honestly, like, as exciting as that match was, and as, like, on the edge of my seat as I was for that match, I'm glad, you know, Roman retained, because in the end it was just like the ultimate, like, because it just kept things going. So.
Right. Yeah. So the other big thing that happened on SmackDown, I mean, there's a few things overall that kind of advanced some stories, but, you know, we saw a teaser video the week prior with Karrion Kross teasing Authors, and everybody, you know, assumed it would be the Authors of Pain.
I know, right?
Which it was, but I didn't expect Paul Ellering when
Karrion
stepped
that
out with Scarlett and Paul Ellering stood next to him.
Dude, he's looked the same since 1986. Just has less hair now.
I don't think so.
Like,
Oh, man. So, Riley, I'll get your opinion on this first. What do you think of this new faction of Karrion Kross and the Authors of Pain?
Yeah, I've always liked the Authors of Pain. I'm like, I don't even remember why they left. Mm-hmm. It was been years ago that they left.
Yeah, they just got released randomly because they were with Seth.
And dude, them like part of Seth's like them in their prime peak in NXT,
and all of a sudden they're gone.
I mean, matches. They had what against the mm-hmm. well, I like to call them War Raiders or War Machine. they had some awesome epic matches like against them. Like so, yeah, I'm rather. I've always liked AOP.
I'm not sure that they might need a maybe just a bigger surprise than them coming out on SmackDown, but I'm still pretty excited for them because that was the big surprise, you know, right?
Yeah, I thought the way that they did it was well though.
Them coming everything was out of the good. Crowd and yeah, all that. I enjoyed it all, but I was expecting a big bigger name to come out.
Oh, who were you expecting to come out?
Anybody. Just, you know, The Rock came out on Monday.
Okay.
I thought somebody big was coming out on Friday.
Well, Roman was there, so who do you need that's bigger than Roman?
I guess that's right.
Is it a surprise?
You know?
I gotcha. Well, The Rock surprised.
Oh, I was asking.
Yes.
Overall though, I thought the moment was pretty good, and I really like Karrion Kross, and I feel like a lot of people are so down on him, and I don't really understand why. Like, I feel like he kind of brings it, but he really has not had a whole lot to like sink his teeth in since he's been in during his first run, definitely not, because they tried to put him in that whole gladiator gimmick that just looked terrible. And, you know, but even, you know, even in NXT, like I thought I dug the entrance, I dug the vibe, I dug the character, and, you know, on the main roster, he just hasn't had a lot to sink his teeth in. So maybe this is something that he can, you know, leading a faction is something that he could really kind of dive into. So hopefully it works out good for all parties involved, but it's good to see AOP back though, too.
Yeah. The problem with me and Karrion Kross is they build him up to be this indestructible guy who's going to tear through everybody, and then he loses
to everybody
and loses and loses and loses. And it's like, oh man, you just want to like, what is that? You know, like don't build him up to be indestructible and have him lose all the time, you know?
Give him, he's not killing give him a Kross different anymore.
Point of view or gimmick, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
he needs to go back to being killer. So Monday Night Raw was, I thought, a pretty entertaining show as well. You know, there's some good matches.
That was
back
vicious.
And forth.
Yeah.
I think the Ludwig Kaiser taking out Kofi thing was brutal. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, if the chair to the face was pretty bad.
Although I don't like
kick to the head.
Yeah, they should have stretchered Cody out, or Kofi out. You know what I mean? Like, he kind of just walked off and they showed a video of him just kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they should have, like, maybe, you know, if that was my only critique of that. But, like, I mean, other than that, it was done really well.
It's funny.
Oh, I just saw like,
for some reason I thought they
did. I didn't
did, but
see
I,
that, but like I just saw like a video clip. But... it was like a quick Instagram clip or something when I was scrolling through like in between or whatever. Or it was like them just like helping him, like he was walking to the like through the crowd to the back. So, yeah, but yeah, that was awesome. That was really vicious.
Okay. They kind of carried him out rather than stretching.
Drew and Punk exchange was pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like they're not really necessarily scripting as much anymore. Like, they're just kind of letting those guys go out and say some stuff. I thought Punk kind of took it on the chin a little bit, but then he really brought it.
Yeah.
He really brought it back, though, with how he closed it out.
Done really well.
He closed it out very strong.
Obviously, kind of throw it in the Drew's, you know. Of course, I don't know if, like, Drew walked out. I think he kind of, wasn't he released, I feel like? Or wasn't he fired? That's what I thought. But, you know.
I think he was fired.
Yeah, Drew was released the first time.
Gotcha.
He said maybe he should walk out and come back or something like that. He said, because he was talking about at the beginning of his promo, he was talking about leaving and because he couldn't get the job done with Seth. Like, maybe I just need to leave because I'm not good enough anymore. But he was like, oh, but then I remember Damian Priest came out and cost me the match and like basically put the whole heat on Priest. And said what we were thinking, like, why did you not wait until after the match was over? Like, kind of called him out for being an idiot. Dude, the best segment on Raw by far, though.
Yep. Was... You don't even have to say it. But go ahead.
It was the story of how
R-Truth
he's dreamt of one day joining.
He's a national treasure.
Freaking amazing, man. Just
I might have to rethink my Mount Rushmore amazing. One of these days and put him on there.
There's even a tweet that I think Rhea put out.
Oh, they were at the,
a picture
yeah, they were at the
JD
airport
at a table
having a meal before their flight. Like, and he just said,
she's like, I keep telling him. Yeah.
You're not.
And she's like, I keep telling him to leave us alone or something like that, and he replied to it.
Yeah.
what do you call her? Like, mommy.
There's another video of him
ironing
on
telling JD
the decals on his shirt in the back, and then Rhea's just in the background, just like shaking her head.
Oh my gosh, man. So good. So good.
Did you see that tweet with a younger Dominic Mysterio? And R-Truth said, I'll find it and try to and send it to you guys. There's something that's like, it's Dominic and it's a side-by-side like green screen with like Dominic when he was younger, like in his high school wrestling days or something. And R-Truth said it was Nick. Mr. something. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
It's crazy to think too, like, and like R-Truth just keeps getting better, man. Like time wise. You know what I mean? Like,
dude.
He looks younger now than he ever has. And the thing is, like, is much of a comedic genius as is, and just character and everything, like, he's so good in the ring too. You know what I mean? Like, I love this. Like, it's but like a parody of it,
and I'm getting
like a parody.
It's almost kind of
so like a Blue World
Order,
a little like New World
Sammy
Order.
Joining,
seriously,
the Bloodline, like kind of that type of vibe. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Right. Yep.
Oh yeah. So the springboard into the
dude. Did you guys see any of the Otis match?
Yeah, that was two big slappers.
They caught him and put him
in
the slam. Yeah.
Beat whatever. Yeah, there you go.
Two meaty men slapping meat. And then Cody and Shinsuke got some criticism, like even though
it was people didn't feel like it was granted, no flaming enough. Tables, but I mean, come on, the timekeeper got misted. Like
nobody bled.
That's hardcore. You know, it probably should have been Samantha instead.
Yeah, the timekeeper did get misted.
That would have. There you go. Yeah. But it was still a hell of a brawl. So
that would have been extremely hardcore. Dude, flipping over, I know I'm kind of jumping around, but speaking of things that kind of made me laugh this week, I'm kind of digging the buddy cop vibe we have going on between Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin. Like that whole tag team dynamic, I think, is hilarious. And if you see the match, Breakker kind of worked babyface. Like he was getting a huge crowd reaction for the stuff that he was doing, and he was starting to feed into that crowd reaction again. So it seems like they've starting to maybe accidentally turning him back.
He's pretty good as a heel, though.
I mean, it might be intentional. I don't know, but he is. Yeah, he is. But I think he kind of fits in that same mold as almost like McIntyre, though, where he can just be himself. And people are going to love him or people are going to hate him. It just, you know, some people are going to fall on whichever side of the fence. But
they end up winning it, the Dusty Cup, those two.
Yeah. Seemed like the team to beat for sure.
Though the one criticism I have about the Dusty Cup is that it's about tag teams. And then all the actual tag teams.
See, are I think losing to non-tag so. The to teams. Me, the Dusty Classic is kind of a take on the Crockett Cup they used to do back in the NWA, which is what Dusty kind of like created. And the Crockett Cup always had tag teams, but it had a lot of like a mix of teams that would beat like I think the first ever one was Dusty and Nikita, who were just a throwing together tag team, and they beat the Midnight Express, who were established like best top heel tag team in the NWA at that time. You know what I mean? So like, it seems like they kind of do have a take on that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it might've been the Warriors. I think I know maybe the second Warriors one. Yeah. Maybe 87.
And Nikita and Dusty won the second one. I'm just trying to go back off of my scroll down 1985.
Yeah, Crockett, first Crockett Cup happened when? I think it was 85.
The first Dusty or the first Crockett Cup happened in that.
Yeah, 85 or 87. Yeah,
because that's the only reason I would know that is from listening to that show.
Well, because like the Crockett Cup 87, like they had Tully and Lex Luger, who was in the horseman at the time. Sorry, like they were in it together, texting because they.
But and I'm trying to think, like the Dusty Cup, the only actual tag team that won it was Wes Lee and Nash Carter. I'm like blanking on what their tag team was before Nash Carter got called out for
the supposedly kids
abusing his girlfriend and got fired. Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. Ooh. Let's see who the winners are. Wow, they've done this 6 years. That is crazy. I'm trying to see who. So, Alistair and Ricochet won it 1 year. Oh, okay, so the first year it was Finn and Samoa Joe. Mm-hmm. So they were a thrown together tag team at the time. Now, the Authors of Pain won it the second year, so that was a real tag team.
Because that was from the tag team. Undisputed Era won
it, but remember it was because Kyle O'Reilly turned on somebody and joined them? Yeah. Yep. Then Alistair and Ricochet won it. Then the Broserweights won it, Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne. And then MSK, which was Nash Carter and Wesley, won it. And then they did a women's one that year, and Dakota and Raquel won it. The Creed brothers won last year, and then Kaylee Ray and Io were the win. Well, it was 2022. They didn't do one last year. So, okay. So I guess so. An actual tag team has won it three out of the. Because I'm not going to count the Undisputed Era because they weren't the tag team. Like it was that won it that year, but. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was fun. Then I guess AEW Dynamite's last thing, you know, it kicked off interesting with the match between Hangman and Claudio. It was a fun match. But then we kind of had the thing with Samoa Joe, and then Hangman came back out. Swerve had came out, and then Hook came out afterwards. So now you have four.
I do like how Samoa Joe said it's like, not
you
know, like
all these people are gunning for MJF.
Did you hear how he, kind of the same thing protocol is? They're having they're going to have a championship protocol now or something like that. It's not just, oh, go on social media, bitch, say you need a title shot or something. And
yeah.
I figured what I was just drawing a blank. But, I mean, I'm sure it's something they'll not acknowledge ever again. So,
yeah. Right. Right. But I don't know, like Dynamite was just a whole bunch of like
random. How about Jericho? How about Jericho
when
he came out from
the honor Brody Lee in a way?
And they just played Judas the entire time for the role. Somebody joked and said that they did that so that you wouldn't hear the boos. Like Jesus Christ, you saw that, right?
Yeah, I didn't. I saw him run in, so, but I was I didn't hear.
Yeah, they played like,
I had
the entire time.
Playing a game,
that's what somebody
and I was
joked to us,
talking
like,
to somebody.
Oh yeah,
so
they just played Judas
the whole
time,
low,
so
I couldn't
hear people
booing
him.
The song
like,
time.
Jesus Christ! I know.
But why are people booing him? He hasn't done anything. Like that's so freaking annoying. Oh, God.
Well, you know, in our country, you're guilty until proven innocent.
That's true. And even when you're proven innocent, nobody pays attention to that, so you're still guilty. Yeah, but I don't know. Overall, it was a decent show.
So you had the Young Bucks come back.
I feel like they've had better shows in the past. Like
so the funny thing is, like while the main event was going on, it was right before the main event.
Yeah, and I didn't see that because my
Tony Schiavone announced we're going to have a 5-minute overrun, so make sure you set your DVRs. There must be a complaint going on because he and Taz were both adamant, yeah, make sure you reset your DVRs or something. So,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I talked about last week, I can't set my DVR to overrun, so I just have to record the next show,
so,
which is Modern Family, so now I have 90 episodes.
Well, yeah, so it was after
so I'm sure I have it in there somewhere, then, I just haven't gone back and watched
Tony,
it yet.
Tony Schiavone was interviewing about the interview thing,
right?
And asked him who he was going to face for his final match, and then the Young Bucks music hit, they came out, one was dressed in all black, one was dressed in all white, they have their heel douchebag mustaches. Only. So all signs point to probably a tag match to where, like, okay, so here everybody's shitting on the fact that, like, the Young Bucks are going to be Sting's final match. Supposedly, Sting has full creative control over all of this, his retirement, who he wants to face, and everything. And supposedly, like, he wants to do a tag match with Darby and wants to face the Young Bucks. It goes back to, like, respect relationship they've had for years or something like that. So, like, I guess supposedly Sting wants this. So if that is the case, then people should fucking shit on it.
You know what I want to have happen? I want Darby to turn on him after the match and beat the shit out of him. And
I want Serpent
Sting
to come
back for one more singles match against Darby.
Yeah,
I'm not saying like he doesn't have to like dye his hair, because remember, he was Surfer's thing when he started growing his hair out. Still,
a lot of people do. I don't think it's gonna happen though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't. That was Transition's thing. That wasn't Surfer's thing, because he was wearing darker colors when he's.
Come on, you don't want to hear Man Cub Sting.
I think it'd be cool, but I don't think it's gonna happen. I really don't.
Man Cub Sting.
you and Conrad would pop a huge chub. but yeah, I don't know. I just think it'd be cool if his last match was a single, like it would just be, I don't know.
Honestly, it would be a good thing. If Darby and Flair turned on him, and then Darby like changed his character.
He's staying. He can do whatever the hell he wants, more of
like
right?
a Nature Boy type. You know what I mean? Like that's something like you would never see, like change his wrestling style. Like I know this is not going to happen. It's just, again, a fantasy booking thing, but like I think that'd be hilarious. Mm-hmm. He kind of like start coming out in suits and just changed his style and was more of a mat wrestler. Like,
Dude, when he did that dive through the ropes, knowing that that wall is a cement wall, because they had talked
about
it.
Dude, how about when he got flung?
I cringed for a minute. Hoping
how about when he got flung into the air with the and he rolled across the ring and he like land his head like and neck landed on like the bottom rope? Did you see that? When it was when Hobbs and Takesha like they did the thing, the swing, and they threw him up and like as he landed, he kind of did to himself because they didn't throw him onto the rope because it was all the way across the other side. So like when he rolled, he was rolling so fast and like his like. Head hit like it was like almost like a snap on the bottom. Oh, yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, he does things that are
just the only thing he has going for him. The only thing he has going for him is like his body's so light.
I feel like he's, you know what I mean, that like, that's like in a wheelchair.
You know what I mean? Like that, I don't know.
Unfortunately.
Maybe it's not. It's almost like a Jeff Hardy type thing. A little bit smaller guy. Like, it still takes a toll, but, like... No, I didn't watch that part.
Did you see Jeff Hardy try to do that jump off of Matt's back? So somebody posted online and said that, like, you know, these guys are my favorite, but I think it's time to hang it up, and... You see Jeff, like Matt gets down on all fours. Jeff jumps and doesn't even make it to the corner. Like he just kind of collapses in front.
AEW needs to have Vince Russo and Eric Bischoff come in and do a Nitro reboot.
I'm sure Eric Bischoff would be really down for that. Dude, I don't know, man. Like, Tony Khan, more power to him. You know, it's just... I talked about last week how he sounds more and more like Donald Trump every time I hear him talk, and it just seems like he's just getting out of control, man. He's going after everybody, and he's got a lot to focus on. And replying to trolls online is not one of things that he needs to be focusing on. But, you know, he's the billionaire, not me, so I guess I got no room to talk, but, you know.
Is he, though, or is his dad?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, who knows? He might have, I mean, I know the guy, like, he works for the organizations his dad owns, but yeah, I don't know. Anyway, well, anything else I forgot or anybody wanted to mention? Riley, I know you came prepared with a bunch of notes. Is there anything I missed? Or
I didn't come prepared with a bunch of notes.
Well, here, since we're only at like 50 minutes right now, and this has to be a big discussion, I know I shared the photos with you, Mike. But so we got the rebirth of TNA Wrestling, which we've talked about, and they've been debuting all week their brand new title belts, and they didn't just bring back the old TNA titles; they had new ones created. And I gotta say, if you haven't had a chance, like go to at TNA Wrestling on X, and you can find the pictures on there. They're all pretty sweet looking, honestly. They just had the Trinity got the Knockouts one tonight. They went back to the white strap, and it's pretty damn good looking. So, yeah, I like how they kind of like the TNA logo is the same, but they added a little bit.
Yeah, they are good looking titles. I will say that.
Yeah, I got, you know, I'm a big time belt nerd and belt critic, and I say they're pretty sweet. Although Jason asked me, he's like, they have a digital media championship. I said, yeah, Impact's, they've had one forever. So the funny thing is, like, it's just, I guess, another way of television title, you know, since digital media, social media is such a big thing. The funny thing is, the Tommy Dreamer is the digital media champion. So, okay, so Scott D'Amore is videoed everybody getting their new titles on X all week. He's trying to put it around Tommy Dreamer's waist. It doesn't fit. Tommy Dreamer's trying to suck it in. He's like, you know, you could have brought a belt extender. And then Scott's like, well, maybe if you strap the old title and the new title together, it will fit. And then, so Tommy Dreamer says something else, and he walks off, and he's like, he's a digital media champion. He doesn't know how to update his iPhone. So I thought that was hilarious. But yeah. I don't know.
Dude, yeah. How is Tommy Dreamer still doing it? Props to Tommy Dreamer. Like, that's crazy. And he's still not only doing it, like, he's not
busted on the open indie
circuit. Like, you know, he's working for a major promotion. I mean, as major as
TNA. Shout out to the Motor City Machine Guns.
Major promotion. Like, that's crazy.
Alex Shelley's the world champion, mm-hmm. and Chris Sabin's the X Division champion. So.
All right. I might have to start checking out TNA when I get some time. You know, it seems like they're doing a lot of good stuff there, storylines.
Right.
I know I said the same thing a little bit ago about NWA, and I really haven't got a chance to check that out. So I probably never will, but it's like one of those things I want to do, which I just don't have time for. But, well, thanks for bringing that up. And since you brought up Michael, I know it's in passing, but, you know, going on the trend of hell freezing over and CM Punk coming back to WWE, Michael informed us that he is now engaged. So hell has truly froze over. If he tells me he's having a kid next, I'm going to be, whoa, what the fuck is going on? But congratulations to Michael. You know, I don't want to necessarily call him a former co-host because he still will pop in from now and again. But, you know, Mr. Modern Toy Fair on his engagement. I was blown away.
And then my second engagement.
So, never thought I'd see the day. Next is Riley. Anyway, so we'll go ahead and wrap up the show.
Yeah, and don't you fucking TikTok that.
Yeah. Don't say that too loud. You're in your house right now.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to know.
Well, I guess I wasn't going to do this on air, but Kevin, I've got something to ask you. Will you do me the honor?
I mean,
of
I don't think I can legally do that at the moment.
But I'll get engaged. You get engaged for a second time.
I feel like this is like a Seinfeld pact.
I think you can get engaged to anybody you want. You just can't marry them. until you're unmarried.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you could propose to somebody and say, "Hey, when I get divorced, anyway, we can marry." But
no,
you just can't marry them. He's right, I guess.
Yeah.
Interesting. Food for thought. Kevin's daydreaming now. Anyway. All right. Hey.
Oh, I was just joking. I was just joking, Kevin.
Hey, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully, I know we've been having some weird audio issues. Hopefully that's not a problem this week. I know Kevin's voice has been overlapping mine on occasion, so I'm trying to work with Riverside to try and get that straightened away. So I'm going to try a couple of different things here to make sure that doesn't happen. But yeah, hopefully you guys are enjoying the show. Please give us feedback. Please comment on X or on Apple or Spotify, or wherever you listen to the podcast and interact with us. On X, you can find us at Live Your Gimmick. That's the at symbol followed by LiveYourGimmick. And of course, you can find us on any of your social media sites. Just search Gimmick Minute. So for Kevin and Riley, I'm Jason. Just reminding you all out there to be a fan and always live your gimmick. And until next week,
I mean, we'll talk to you later. You know, Kevin's food for thought. Yeah.
Don't get stuck in the mud. Nobody heard that story, so it's not going to make sense to anybody listening to this. But
yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
We
could be like that NXT tag team and come out the mud. So.
Yeah.
This is like the worst ending ever. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Crickets.